This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
يسلم ما بعد اليوم الثاني والعشرون من شهر ذي الحجة 1445 الموافق ل 29 من شهر جون 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك بلوغ المرام أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So inshallah we continue from where we stopped last درس, which is the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, hadith of Ka'b ibn Malik. Okay. Last time we talked about the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, لا تتخذوا شيئا فيه الروح غرضا. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم made it prohibited for us to made something as a target as long as that thing has a soul. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said لا تتخذوا شيئا فيه الروح غرضا. So you have a target that you want to shoot, you shouldn't use something that has life in it. The next hadith is the hadith of Ka'b ibn Malik al-Ansari رضي الله عنه أن امرأة ذبحت شاة بحجر فسئل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ذلك فأمر بأكلها. That was a sister, in some narration it was his slave. Adam, just go out. Let's go out. Let's go. I don't know. If you go out, you open from outside, it will go out. Looking for a rat. How do you get up there? So it is coming to take its food. We are talking about food. next time when you have this circumstance with cats, try to be in the hidden, because now it will take you the enemy. So Ka'b ibn Malik أن امرأة ذبحت شاة بحجر فسئل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ذلك فأمر بأكلها. This slave of Ka'b ibn Malik, she slaughtered a sheep bihajarin, with a rock. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about that. فَأَمَرَ بِأَكْلِهَا, and he allowed people to eat that sheep. Get it? So this shows that it is okay for us to slaughter with hajar, with stone, with a rock. وَالْحَدِيثُ دَلِيلٌ عَلَى صِحَّةِ تَذْكِيَةِ الْمَرْأَى هُوَ قَوْلُ الْجُمْهُورِ. And this hadith is clear evidence that it is halal for a woman to slaughter animal, right? And this is the opinion of the vast majority of the scholars. Yeah. We don't have any hadith that says it is not permissible. That's why almost all the scholars agree that there is no difference between male and a female when it comes to slaughtering. وَفِي خِلَافٌ شَاذٌ أَنَّهُ يُكْرَهُ وَلَا وَجْهَ لَهُ. So that is a very strange and a weak controversy, you know, that some people said it is disliked for a woman to slaughter animal. Why is it an issue actually in the first place? Can a woman slaughter? Sure. Okay. I thought they are very emotional when she sees there. Because the issue is not about slaughtering. Slaughtering is okay, it's halal for her to do it like anybody else. But Okay. Anyway, if she can, the point is she can be brave to slaughter. If she is going to be so emotional, then at the end of the day, the animal will suffer because she will start slaughtering and then show a lot of mercy to the animal. Then khalas, showing mercy, but the animal is going through a trauma. Anyway, so it's halal, and anyone who says otherwise has to provide evidence, and there is no such evidence. So she can slaughter anything. Cow, camel, yeah. I think in the city maybe you don't find this, but in the village, this is very, very normal, you know. وَدَلِينُ عَلَى صِحَّةِ التَّذْكِيَةِ بِالْحَجَرِ الْحَادِ إِذَا فَرَ الْأَوْدَاجَ لِأَنَّهُ قَدْ جَاءَ فِي رِوَايَةٍ أَنَّهَا كَسَرَتِ الْحَجَرَ وَذَبَحَتْ بِهِ. And also we can use hajar, stone, to slaughter. As long as it cuts the veins, right? Yeah, the point is to cut the veins, the jugular veins, right? These two, cut them, then it is okay. Yeah, it is an evidence that that is fine. That's why it came in another narration that this woman, what she did, she got the rock, she broke it. You know, rock, when you break it, it will have that sharp place, very smart. So she broke it and then she slaughtered the sheep. وَدَلِينُ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ يَصِحُّ أَكْلُ مَا ذُبِحَ بِغَيْرِ إِذْنِ الْمَالِكِ. And also this is an evidence that shows that it is halal to eat something that is slaughtered without the permission of the owner. Yeah. Because Ka'b is the owner of the sheep and he did not gave her permission to do that. قَالَ وَخَالَفَ فِيهِ إِسْحَاقُ بِنْ رَاهُوِيَّ وَأَهْلُ الظَّاهِرِ وَغَيْرُهُمْ وَاحْتَجُّوا بِأَمْرِهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم بِإِكْفَاءِ مَا فِي الْقُدُورِ مِمَّا ذُبِحَ مِنَ الْمَغْنَمِ قَبْلَ الْقِسْمَةِ بِذِي الْحُلَيْفَةِ كَمَا أَخْرَجَهُ الشَّيْخَانِ. إِسْحَاقُ بِنْ رَاهُوِيَّ, the muhaddith, and أَهْلُ الظَّاهِرِ, the ظاهرية, they disagree with this. That if somebody slaughters something that he did not own, that thing is not halal to be eaten. And the evidence for this is the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them to throw away the meat of the animal they slaughter, which is taken from the ghanima. You know ghanima, right? Yeah. So those ghanima, the spoils of war, the booty is taken from the enemy. Before it is distributed, they take some sheep, some camels, they slaughter them. The Prophet ﷺ asked them to throw them away completely. Because they're slaughtering something which is not theirs. It can only be for them when it is distributed. But before the distribution, it's halal for anyone to touch it. وَأُجِيبَ لأنه إِنَّمَا أَمَرَ بِإِرَاقَةِ الْمَرَقِ وأما اللحم فباق جمع ورد إلى المغنم. Some scholars said no. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم did not ask them to throw away the meat. He asked them to throw the soup away. As for the meat, he asked them to put it back to the ghanima. They get it? That it will be distributed, people will make use of it. فإن قيل لم ينقل جمعه ورده إليه قلنا لم ينقل أنهم أتلفوه وأحرقوه فيجب تأويله بما ذكرنا موافقة للقواعد الشريعة. He said, somebody might say, but where did you get that? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asked them to gather the meat and to put it back to the ghanima. Somebody might say this, but Al-Amir al-San'ani said, if somebody says this, then we have a reply also. Also, we did not have any narration that says that the Prophet ﷺ commanded them to burn it or to throw it away. So what left is that the meat is being placed back to the ghanima and used by the mujahideen. This is to agree with the qawaid al-sharia. Because qawaid al-sharia, there is no problem in the wealth itself. It's halal if the conditions of dhabha are all there. You know, maximum you can say to the person, you know, who is doing this without the permission to pay, a compensation. That the meat shouldn't be affected, right? Because it was slaughtered in the halal way. Then we compensate that person. That might be the moderate opinion, because it's too difficult to understand the statement of Zahiriyah, although Al-Amir Sanani, in some part of his work, accepted that. قلت لا يخفى تكلف الجواب والمرق مال لو كان حلالا لما أمر بإراقته فإنه من إضاعة المال. الأمير السنعاني says this is just going beyond the limit in replying others, commenting on the statement of others. He says the soup is also wealth. If it is halal, why did the Prophet ﷺ ask them to throw it away? You get his point, right? قالوا أما الاستدلال على المدعي بشاة الأسارى فإنها ذبحت بغير إذن مالكها فأمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالتصدق بها على الأسارى كما هو معروف فإنه استدلال غير صحيح وذلك لأنه صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يستحل أكلها ولا أباح لأحد من المسلمين أكلها بل أمر أن يطعم الكفار المستحلين للميتة. You know, so this is another approach where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not allow them to eat that meat which is not halal, but he let them give it to the kuffar, those who eat dead animal. This might be used to support the opinion that says al kuffar laysu mukhatabin bi furu' al iman. You know, so it's an opinion by some scholars. Other scholars said no, they are also mukhatabin bi furu' al iman. But if you go with this opinion, which I believe is a more reasonable opinion, that they are supposed to do everything between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not between them and us. They are supposed to do everything. Then you have to provide answer to these type of statements. Either you are, you know, giving them to increase their responsibility when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of their kufr. Yeah. Or any other jawab that would be reasonable. وأخرج أبو داود من حديث رجل من الأنصار قال خرجنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في سفر فأصاب الناس مجاعة شديدة وجهد فأصابوا غنما فانتهبوها فإن قدورنا تغلي إذ جاء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على فارسه فأكفأ قدورنا ثم جعل يرمل اللحم بالتراب ويقول إن النهبة ليست بأحل من الميتة فهذا مثل الحديث الذي أخرجه الشيخاني وفيه التصريح بأنه حرام وفيه إتلاف اللحم لأنه ميتة فعرفت قوة كلام أهل الظاهر. So this is one of the evidences used by Al-Amir al-San'ani to support the kalam of Ahlul Zahir, that if the meat is haram, I mean the way you slaughter the meat is wrong, you are taking the animal which doesn't belong to you, then it is haram to eat that meat. Majority of the scholars said that shouldn't be any problem because the conditions are been made. So when you met the conditions, then it is okay. Then we just ask you to pay compensation to the owner. As I said, this is the most moderate rather than throwing away the meat. If a Muslim slaughter the animal in the halal way of slaughtering, then the opinion of the majority of the scholars might be stronger here, because she did without his permission. And he accepted that, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded them to eat it. So this hadith, which is collected by Abu Dawood, that a person says, one of the Ansar, from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, رجل هنا مبهم لكن جهلة الصحابي لا تضر. As long as we reach a companion, whether he is majhul or معروف, it doesn't matter. You get it? جهلة الصحابي لا تضر. As long as we agree that this is a companion, a trustworthy said, I got it from a companion, then khalas, case closed. even if the companion is not known. Yeah, somebody else, we have to know who he is. You know. So he said, we went out with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one of his journeys, and we got a strong starvation. They were hungry, and they are really in need of food. So they got some sheep. They took it from others. Okay. And nuhba is not min al sadaqah, you know, taking something by force from another person. You have ikhtilas. Ikhtilas, this is snatch, theft. Take it and run away. And nuhba, to use force and take it and go. Both are prohibited, although they don't carry the punishment of theft. They don't carry the punishment of theft, because theft is to take the property of another person in secret, and also from the place of protection. You know, if these conditions are not fulfilled, we don't call it theft. Still haram, carry punishment according to whatever is decided by the government, but we don't call it sariqah. Because sariqah, it has to be done in secret. The person who comes by force and take it and run away. Get it? That's the nuhba. Al-ikhtilas. A person who is taking it very quickly and running away from that person who owns the thing. Yeah. They both carry punishment, but not the punishment of the sariqah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he threw away the laham, the meat, or he mixed it with the turab, the clay, meaning throwing it away. And then he said, nuhba, these type of actions is not laysa bi ahall min al-mayta. You know, it doesn't have any preference, you know, over a dead animal. And then he's trying to tell us that it is not better than a dead animal. That's the meaning of laysa bi ahall min al-mayta. So you can see they took it by force and they are going to eat it, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam threw the meat away. We call it a nuhba, because they are not allowed to eat it without the permission of the owner. So we can come up with a moderate opinion here, that if a person slaughter an animal without the permission of the owner, he goes back to the owner. If the owner allows it, it's halal. If he doesn't allow it, it's haram for him to eat that meat. He has to take it back to him. And it's haram for him to eat that meat. Yeah, he has to take it back to him. Because whatever is prohibited, bi'aynihi, is haram also al-kasib wa ghayrihi. This is a maxim that is very good for you to remember, but then use it in the wrong way. Mahurrima li-kasbihi, fahuwa haramun al-kasibi faqat. Wa mahurrima bi'aynihi, fahuwa haramun al-kasibi wa ghayrihi. Whatever is prohibited by the sharia, li-kasbihi, because of the way it is earned, then it is haram upon the one who got it. Okay, Allah made it haram because of the method used by whoever is using it to earn that money. So it is haram upon him. Like riba, why riba is haram? The money itself is haram, or the method is haram? Method is haram. The money itself is not haram. Riba money. The money itself is money. It has value. You get it? Gambling, somebody gambled and he got money. It is haram because of the method he is using to earn the money. That's why we can use it to benefit some other things if we cannot take it back to the proper owner. If you know the real owner, you have to take it back to him. Somebody takes riba, you know, added on top of the original amount something. Yeah. He has to take that additional amount to the person who gave him the loan. But if you don't know who is that, or the system will not accept, like the banks, when they put, what do you do? Keep it with the bank, or you take it out of the bank and give it to somebody else. So whatever you take as an approach, there are some scholars who are with that opinion. Yeah, but you just have to be very careful, really careful. Because sometimes we take it and we don't pass it to somebody else, we use it. Yeah, or we give it to a family member that we are responsible to take care of them. And as such, indirectly, we are just using them. Or sometimes they use it to pay the taxes. Yeah, I receive a lot of questions like this. Can we use the riba money to pay the taxes? If you do that, who is benefiting? No. Government is going to take it, whether from your own pocket money or from wherever. That one is confirmed. But who is benefiting now?
Oh, you.
You. Yeah, you, because you are taking the riba money and giving it to come. So it's like you're not losing anything from your wealth, because that riba money is not your money. I don't want to go to that. Leave that one aside. That's why if you see other system, what they do when they come, they try to see what exactly should be the main job of the government. In many places, we get involved in things which are not our job. What is the most important job? Hiraset Deen, apart from this, security and justice. Main focus should be here, security and justice, making sure that things are going nice in the community. Trust me, people are going to do almost everything by themselves, but justice have to take place. But if I create 100 ministries, the one that is necessary, the one that is not, where do I get money to pay the... Of course, I have to increase the amount of the taxes I'm taking. If I have in one institution or one ministry, you know, I need in this ministry 10 people, and I employ 200 or 1,000. In some countries, I heard that people don't even have space to sit. Because they're politicians in those places, they believe that they have to provide job for people. So those ones that are there, what are they doing? Technically nothing, because the job is being done by those few. So how do I get to pay those ones? I have to look for ways. You get an idea? So the scholars have mentioned the ways to justify the dara'ib and the conditions. Those conditions have to be met. If they are not met, then the one who takes it is in going against the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You as a community member, your job is to comply. If there is anything which is not right taken from you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will compensate you. So I don't want to go to that that one. Yeah. But at the same time, we don't correct mistake by mistake. The nushra, you remember nushra, right? What is nushra? An-nushra. Two types of nushra, but the one that I'm referring to is the haram nushra, which is to destroy sihr with sihr. Many people do that. There's magic being done on him, but how does he destroy it? Go and do magic again. So, what is the difference between him and the one who is doing the magic? The difference. You cannot fix shirk with shirk. Okay, that is always the correct way to fix that which is wrong. لا يأتونك بمثل إلا جئناك بالحق وأحسن تفسيرا. That's why cheating is wrong in Islam. Deception is wrong in Islam. You get it? Yeah. Can I deceive? The answer is wrong. So some people sometimes when the system says something, you believe is wrong. Many people in the country believe is wrong. But at the same time, can they deceive and cheat? No, they shouldn't. Because they are opening a door, you get it, which might affect them in the future. You know, yeah, bribe and all of these things, you know. So when you open this door, then it cannot be controlled. You might be right when you do it, but then the door is being opened. It cannot be controlled. So that's why Rasulullah said, sabr, obey your leaders, be patient. If there is anything against you, ask Allah SWT to get you your right. But don't fight. Don't protest. Don't go and shower. Don't go and destroy things. Don't. Make dua for him to be guided. If you can have access to them, go and give them nasiha. That's the peaceful and the best approach. Any place where this is not being accepted, go and see the consequence of that place. You know, life is gone completely. So that's the power of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which, subhanAllah, we neglected it nowadays and we get into trouble. So the riba money, when a person gets it, he has to make sure that he can get rid of it. If you pick it up from the account, you must make sure that you can get rid of it. If you're not sure, then the best is not to. That's why I would never advise you to withdraw that money. Transfer it to somebody, some organization, and tell them this is riba, so that they will know where to put it and what to do with it. Or just leave it. And Islamically, if there is an account which doesn't add any interest, it's wajib upon you to use that account. In some places, current account doesn't increase money to you. It takes from you every month, maintenance, service maintenance, or something like that. Maintenance fee or something like that. That one is fine because they're providing a job for you to keep your money. Yeah, it's the same as the saving account, but this one, they don't add anything. They take from you. So that's better for you and for them. If this exists and it is within your affordability, you have to go with it. If not, then you go with a saving account which add, but الضرورة تقدر بقدرها. You have to restrict yourself to the need. I cannot keep my money at home because some people might come and borrow that money. I use the good word, borrowing that money, you know. Yeah, because they have to pay you back on the day of judgment. You get it? So I can't. We're living in a time where, a'udhu billah, get it? It's not in the, like in the past, you can keep your money and you don't get afraid of anything. Yeah. So why do I need to go and keep it with the bank? Because of this necessity. So I should make sure that I restrict myself to the necessity. Any riba with transaction with the financial institution is wrong for me to go for that. Anything that contains shubha is wrong. I'm just there for the purpose of saving my money and I restrict myself to that, inshallah. So, مَا حُرِّمَ لِكَسْبِهِ فَهُوَ حَرَامٌ عَلَى الْكَاسِبِ وَمَا حُرِّمَ لِعَيْنِهِ فَهُوَ حَرَامٌ عَلَى الْكَاسِبِ وَغَيْرِهِ. Whatever is prohibited Islamically because of, I mean, the thing in itself is prohibited, then it is prohibited upon everyone. Al-Kasib wa ghayrihi. Somebody took a pen that belongs to Adam. Can he use that pen?
No.
Can he give it to somebody else to use it?
No.
He cannot make charity with it. He cannot sell it. He cannot give it as a hiba. He cannot use it. Because the pen itself is haram. It has to go back to Adam. Nobody is allowed to make use of it. Okay, so that's the application of the qaida. So if somebody slaughter a sheep that belong to another person, all that he has to do is to tell that person. If he agrees, then khalas, it will be eaten by the owner and those whom he want to pass the meat to them. Is that clear? قال وفيه دليل على أنه يجوز تمكين الكفار مما هو محرم على المسلمين ويدل له ويدل له أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عمر نهى عمر أن لبس الحلة من الحرير فبعث بها عمر لأخيه المشرك بمكة. So this is also one of the evidences used by those who says, yes, we can let them, use that which is haram upon us. Yeah. Haram upon us. You get it? No. Live to add awla. No, staying away from it is better. You know. Try to see any legal way, halal way to deal with those matters rather than getting involved in the controversy of the scholars. قال المصنف في الفتح ويدل الحديث على تصديق الأجير الأمين فيما أتمن عليه حتى يتبين عليه دليل الخيانة. If you have an Ajir, an Ajir is the hired employee, you know, employee, you trust him in whatever he said. You trust him unless if you are sure that he cheated, because whatever she said to be the reason why she slaughtered the sheep was accepted by the owner. So, and the Prophet allowed people to eat it. And في الحديث أنها كانت آمة رأية لغنم سيدها وهو كعب بن مالك فخشيت على الشاة أن تموت فذبحها. So the sheep reached a position where either you slaughter or it will die. You get it? You just come to a place and a speeding car comes and hits a cow. You get it? And you have a small knife. This cow is about to die. If you take that opinion, that says you cannot do that, then you just leave it. It will die. But can you just slaughter? Yes. You slaughter immediately and then explain to the owner what happened. I'm pretty sure he will also appreciate what you did. Yeah, and go and hold that person who hit his cow responsible for paying. Yeah, but rather than losing the whole thing, at least somebody got to benefit from it. Even the one who hit it, at least he has some benefit, you know. Give him relief from the burden. Pay this one the money and then go and sell the meat. You get it? Yeah. So that's the best opinion, بِإِذْنِ الْوَاحِدِ الْأَحَدِ. So she is a female slave that took care of the sheep of Ka'b ibn Malik, who was narrator of the hadith. And she slaughtered that sheep when she was at the condition that not slaughtering the sheep will cause the sheep to lose its life.
ويؤخذ منه جواز تصرف المودع لمصلحة بغير إذن المالك.
المودع إليه, you know, the person that receive الأمانة to keep it. He can do anything that brings مصلحة to the أمانة without the permission of the one who gave him the أمانة. However, if something happened, he's responsible. Okay. This is Hamad house, right? I brought this thing and I keep it here. I said, Hamad, please, whether it's his house or not, but I told Hamad, let's say in this masjid actually, in this hole. Okay, I told Hamad, please preserve my thing. And I put it here. Hamad realized that in this masjid, everyone comes. You know, people come from different nature, good and bad. Good and bad. Okay? Then Hamad says, okay, I don't think this is good for Ibrahim to keep his thing here. Rather than keeping it here, he took it, he put it somewhere a bit hidden. Unfortunately, it got stolen in that place. Who pays? Hamad has to pay. But then, when Hamad was taking the thing, you know, to the place where he believes is okay, Adam told him, no, Hamad, Ibrahim said, keep it here. It's wrong for Islamically to use it. Hamad said, oh, I never know that. I thought I can benefit him. Okay, no problem. He took it back to the place. It got stolen after he took it back. Who pays? Hamad. Yeah. Because the scholar said, maybe when you are taken, you attract the attention of the criminals. However, Hamad kept it here. Without negligence, unfortunately, somebody came and took it. Who pays? Nobody. Yeah, Hamad will not pay. That's the owner who has lost his thing. Yeah, I know. I gave Hamad 10 ringgit. I said, please pass it to Sajjad. Hamad, where are you going?
He said, I'm going to Mazen's country, KICT. You have to pass Bank Islam, right? Hamad was hungry. When he reached, he and she, that's one, that's one and very funny show. I like the name. So when he reached that place, he decided to buy something there. Unfortunately, he doesn't have money. Only that 10 ringgit that, who gave him at the first place?
Sajjad.
No, he's going to give it to Sajjad. Adam gave him. Yeah. So Hamad says, okay, let me use this. Since I'm going to pass through the Bank of Islam anyhow, I just withdraw the 10 ringgit, I give it to him. Hamad used
Adam's
money, okay, buy his food and enjoy his meal, okay? And then he went to Bank of Islam. He picked up the money from the ATM. Yeah. And then between engineering and IT, a giant creature comes and, I'm talking about a thief, you know, come and shout at him, give the money with you. He took that 10 ringgit and ran away with it. Can Hamad tell Sajjad, wallahi Sajjad, somebody forced me on the way and took your money? No, because whose money is missing? Hamad must have money. You get it? However, if let's say in the first place, when I give him the money, Adam gave him the money, and then somebody took it from him by force, does Hamad need to pay the money to Sajjad? No, he just has to tell me, unfortunately, gangs comes and searched me and took everything from me, including the money you gave me. That person doesn't have a right to charge Hamad for the money because the Qaeda says, Al-Aminu la yadhman. A trustworthy doesn't pay a loss as long as negligence is not confirmed. You get it? That's how sensitive is this amana that some people are just negligently using it in the wrong way. You get it? So that's why this is a very serious matter. We have to train ourselves on this. When somebody gives you something, try your best to take the same thing. Yeah. If that is possible, take the same thing. Why do I say that is possible? Because sometimes it is not possible. I have 100 ringgit in my account. Adam sent me 10 ringgit to the account to pass it to Ihsan. How do I know that when I transfer the money, I'm transferring exactly that one? These are just digits being added, you know? So how do I know? Yeah. So in this case, you can just keep on using your money. Yeah, but make sure that you keep his. You get it? And even if, let's say you finish using everything, some other money comes, because these are all numbers that's being used. Yeah. But if you use, in this case also, use everything in your account, and then your new money comes, you get it? But somebody hacked your account and took everything. Can I tell Ihsan Walai that they hacked my account? No, because I finished his one also, because now I'm sure that his one also was affected. Yeah. It looks so conservative, right? But that's how Islam is very serious when it comes to preservation of the amana that belongs to others. You know, that's why the financial institutions, when they talk about this amana, it's a joke. Yeah, because the moment you put your money, deposited your money into the bank, the bank is going to use it to pay the debt they owe others. Khalas, trust is gone. That's why they call it wadi ayadu. Daman, right? And, which means yadu kabamina. It's not yadu amana, abadan. Yadu amana, wadi'a, that is wadi'a. The real wadi'a is those that you have in some banks, they call them sundukul amanat, where you have a place, you put your gold, they put very valuable things, you know, documents, and you put your gold, you put things, you know, because banks should be the safest place for money. Right, so sometimes you put your valuable and precious things in that place, and you put money also. When you come, you have the key. You go to the bank, although they have access, but they don't touch that thing. So when you come and open the place, you're taking the money. Which money is that? The same money you put last time. It doesn't go with the normal wadiya that we are talking about. Yeah. When you take it, this is just your loan being paid back to you by the one who borrowed the money from you. So we have to be very careful. This is where the riba exists and all of this that some people are trying to justify. So do you understand how to use that qaida, right? Okay. So if the muda ilayhi can do anything that benefits the sahibul wadiya, but he must make sure that there is no negligence, because if something happens, he is responsible. قال وأن رافع بن خديج عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ما أنهر الدم وذكر اسم الله عليه فكل ليس السن والظفر أما السن فعظم وأما الظفر فمن الحبشة. رافع ابن خديج says that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said ما أنهر الدم وَذُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ فَكُلْ. So this we're still talking about dhabh, right? So now the conditions of dhabh. مَا أَنْهَرَ الدَّمَ whatsoever caused the blood to come out very quickly. إِنْهَرُ الدَّمَ means you cause it to إِسَالَةُ الدَّمَ بِسْرَى, cause it to go out in a very quick way, in a strong way. That's why electrocution, if it reached the level of killing the animal, that animal is dead animal. Even if afterwards you come and cut the neck, you're just eating a dead animal. Get it? So when you slaughter, the blood has to be normal. If the blood is very little, then you might be eating a dead animal, which means the electrocution already killed. Yeah. That's why two things here. The first one is it even halal to do it? The second one is, if it is halal, which one is halal? Yeah. If it is confirmed that the animal, although it freezes, it doesn't move, but it is punished from inside, that's what some said. It is suffering from inside, then this is ta'adhibul haywan. In Islam, this is wrong for us to do this. It's against the hadith that is going to come with us next week, inshallah. You get it? Then at the first place, the practice is wrong. However, if it is not punishing the animal, it just in 1 second putting it in a state of unconsciousness, then it should be okay. But then now the question is, what kind of, you know, power and what is the rate of the shocking or whatever is there we're using? If it reaches the level of killing the animal, then we're just eating a dead animal. That's why the best is just to use the normal way to slaughter. Just laziness of people. Anyway. So he said, the Prophet said, Man haraddam. So the first condition is to use something that can cut the veins, right? To bring the blood out very quickly. وَذُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. And also you mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when doing. That's condition number two. Laysa sinna wa dhufra. The Prophet said, not the teeth, the tooth, wa dhufr, and the nails. Amma sinnu fa'azmun. Because he said the teeth, these are bones. Wa amma dhufr, famuda al-habashati. As for the dhufr, the nails, these are the knives of Habasha people from Ethiopia, Abyssinian people. So inshallah, in the next dars, because this one has a beautiful, nice and long commentary of the scholars, and it's not good for us to rush, so I will stop here for questions inshallah. Barakallahu feekum.
Yes, Adam. Does that mean it's wrong to make a knife out of a bone and then use this knife to slaughter an animal?
Are you going to travel next week?
No.
Inshallah, this one will come for the next week class. If you don't mind, then we can keep it. But if you mind, we will do.
No, we won't.
Okay.
Come in. I have two questions. Number one, Sheikh, how do we reply to those who say that al-kuffar laysu mukhatabin, the kuffar aren't obligated to do the furu' al-iman because the evidence is very strong by that hadith and Umar ibn Khattab giving the that seal to his brother?
On the day of judgment, the kuffar, are they going to be punished?
Yes.
They're punishing based on what?
Kufr.
Kufr. Yeah. What is kufr?
Opposite of Islam.
What is Islam?
Believing in Allah and the messenger sent by him.
What does that mean?
Disobeying.
Obeying
the ta'a. Right? What does ta'a mean?
Obeying.
Obeying. What does obeying mean? Doing what he says, right? I said, I follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but I don't pray. I don't fast. I don't do whatever he asked me to do. And I tell you, I'm following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, but I do everything that la ilaha illallah necessitates. I don't do everything that la ilaha illallah necessitates. Am I a true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Of course, no. These are just claims. Either I don't believe completely, or my belief is deficient. That's why I'm just waiting for you to tell me iman. And that's true. You get it? That iman has three components, right? The last one is actions. When they're rejecting the iman, they're rejecting the whole components, right? Or everything. So when they got punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of not having iman, what is iman? Those three things. That means collectively they are punished because of that. Then obviously you come up with the opinion that says, بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَ هُمْ مُخَاطَبُونَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Kafir has to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's wajib upon him to pray. It's wajib upon him to fast. It's wajib upon him to give zakat. However, if he does, it will never be accepted for him because the conditions are missing. Number one condition is iman. Right? I don't ask a person, you know, a Muslim to have iman first because he already has it. You know, but for them, the number one condition is iman. You get the idea? So, looking at the Sharia collectively, even those people who are upon the opinion that laysu mukhatabuna bi furu'il iman, they will agree with everyone that on the day of judgment, they will be punished because of not praying. مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. We did not pray, they said. And these are kuffar. لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ وَلَمْ نَكُمْ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ وَكُنَّا نَخُوذُ مَعَ الْخَائِدِينَ وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينَ. So that's mean, حَتَّى تَلَكِ. That means collectively they are punished by Allah SWT by not doing all of these, right? So they are مخاطبون. These type of things, that's why I said, Allahu A'lam, either that's because these people, they have, I mean, I don't know how to put it, but they do, rather than throwing it away, just pass it to them. Do you get an idea? If you have any other way out, it's better, you know, to use that way out. You get it? I have hadith, I want to give it. There is a John from the Kuffar, and my wife, my daughter, my sisters are there. You get it? Even my, if not from my relative, we still have Muslim sisters a lot. Can they use hadith? Yes, I pass it to them. You get it? Animal that is dead. What is the best way to get rid of it? Throw it away or to give it to John to eat it? Of course, throw it away. Yeah, we just throw it away. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw the shot for the Maimuna, they throw it away. He still have kuffar in Medina. But he did not tell them, give it to those kuffar. He said, just take the skin and make use of it. And the rest, they throw it away. Yeah. Get it? Mm. May Allah grant us good. The second question.
Sheikh, the second question. As-salamu alaykum. If, for example, on Eid al-Adha, we have the animal ready to be slaughtered, but then it freed itself and then ran away,
So now, can we shoot it as a sight? I mean, can we hunt it as a sight animal? And if it dies from that gunshot, for example, is the udhiyah correct?
Yeah. Let's say this udhiyah is for 7 people, right?
No.
Yusuf, Ihsan, Adam, Allahumma hada an Yusuf, wa Hamad, wa Adam, wa Ihsan, wa Sajjad, wa Karima, wa Bashira. Mention those 7 people and then got it. You have to.
Yeah.
Because this doesn't change the reality, but it just changed the method. You get it? Because I have to slaughter before eating, so I just need to use sharp thing to shoot. Use an arrow to shoot it. As long as the arrow went inside and bring the blood, that's halal. So you do it according to the name of those ones. Mm-hmm. What is over here?
It's sacrifice.
What is sacrifice?
To offer something for Allah.
That's so general, right? Even prayer also is udhiyah, then zakah also is udhiyah.
The blood.
Right. The blood that is the animal that is slaughtered on the day of Eid Adha
for the
sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as udhiyah. Yeah. That's why the best approach to say that is specific to animal that is slaughtered in a specific way on the day of Eid Adha. That's all here. Otherwise, every animal is going to be included. That animal that ran away, rather, since Sharia says, when I slaughtered over here, either I slaughter or I do the nahr. Inshallah, next class, we will talk about all of these things. It's part of this hadith. Al-nahr, huna, al-labba. The slaughtering is a'la al-raqaba, on top. The person is slaughtering, As for the raqaba, that's a nahar. Down. Both are going, because you see the veins, they come like this also. Yeah. So they put the knife here and they cut. Is that clear, inshallah? So these are the 2 methods given to me by the Sharia to execute the animal, which I intended to make it as over here. The intention is, this animal is for Yusuf, Hamad, those 7 people. So how am I going to, Allahumma hadha minka walak? I say it. Allahumma hadha an fulan, wa fulan, wa fulan, wa fulan, wa fulan, wa fulan, 7 people, then I shoot. What changes from the oath here? Nothing, except the method. This one I put it down, I slaughter it, and the other one I let it stand up and I go and cut, and this one I shoot it with the same weapon. Same arrow, knife, whatever, I got it and it died. It brings out the blood. You get it? There's no difference except the method of removing the blood from the body. So as long as I go with the intention and I say the word that should be said, then just do. That's what we do with the side, right? The side, I just say Bismillah and then send the dog. Bismillah, I shoot the arrow. But this one, Bismillah. Allahumma hadha minka wa lak. Allahumma hadha an fulan, and then I shoot. Otherwise, on what basis I'm going to ask those masakeen to go and do another udhiyah, while this one is being slaughtered,
Yeah.
I mean,
would it be fine to just go hunting with the intention of udhiyah? To go hunting?
No, because udhiyah has its own tamma hamad, yatma kathir. Hamad is a hunter. He doesn't want to spend money to buy cow or sheep. He went and slaughter a deer and then call it udhiyah. There are specific animals to be used for the udhiyah. This is the cow, camel, and sheep or goat. That's it. Except in the fatwa coming from one of the countries. I'm not going to mention the country because I have people in my class from that country. I don't want them to smack me tomorrow. Yeah. But somebody says if you have a fat chicken, you don't need to buy a sheep. Just slaughter your fat chicken. Yeah. If you live in this dunya, you hear a lot of ajay. Anyway. So all here is only with the camel, sheep, goat, and cow. That's it. Okay, next question.
If
paying the price is one of the conditions. For all the year, there needs to be a price which is to be paid. For example, because like there are animals like goats which are wild goats as well.
No, it's not necessary. I can give Hamad a cow and he makes all the hair with it. He doesn't pay anything.
So if there's like
Hamad can buy a cow and say, Adam, are you making all the hair? Well, why? Sorry, Adam. I am broke. This year I can't. Yusuf, how about you? I'm just struggling to live. Which cow the hair you're talking about? Please, when you slaughter, share the meat with Ihsan. And everyone, all of your friends are telling you, Hamad, this year, alhamdulillah, inshallah, next year, bismillah. We have a plan for it. So then Hamad says, okay, if this is the case, I have a cow. I'm going to put your names. So you get seven among those ones and share with them. How much they pay?
Nothing.
Yeah, so it's not necessary. But you just have to restrict yourself to those specific animals.
Goat, sheep, cow. But they're like wild goats as well, mountain goats. So you can hunt those.
The best is to avoid those ones, to use the domestic one.
But those are goats. Like
I know they're goats by definition, but their nature is different.
So the animal should be
domesticated. The best is just get the one that is used to use by the Prophet ﷺ to avoid any controversy. In Bab Zakah, inshallah, for those who are coming to Zara, I don't know when is it going to happen, but we reach the Bab Zakah, you will see all of these things mentioned by the scholars. The buffaloes in the forest, are they treated as cows or not? You see the controversy of the scholars. And that use. The goat that in the forest, they look the same, but are they also going to be treated like a domestic animal and we pay the zakat on them or not? So why would I go and get the wild goat to slaughter us over here? Okay, I'm not saying it's not halal, concrete, but a person should stick to that which was done by the Prophet.
If I heard that if a person commits sin, then it will affect the ni'mah which is going to be given to them. So if the person is the head of the family, for example, he has a family, does this affect the whole family?
Yeah, because he's a source. That's where, as a husband, you know, everyone actually, but as a husband, as a father, it's really dangerous for a father to bring haram wealth to his family. It affects the barakah in the family itself. That's why he should really be careful to make sure that what he's bringing to the family is that which is halal. Because those masakin, they depend on him. They don't know where is he getting the money. Yeah. So what he knows is haram, he shouldn't bring it to the house. Feed them with the pure halal money he has. You know. Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Let's say a pig farmer converts to Islam. He has 1,000 pigs. What does he do with them?
Throw them away.
Really?
No. Has to.
Can he turn them into cat food or something like that? Because the cat can eat, so.
Yeah, that is a benefit, and he does give it to those animals which Sharia make it okay for them to eat whatever. Inshallah, I hope it's okay, fine, rather than throwing them away.
Okay.
But cat food and sell them cannot. Inna Allah idha harrama shay'an harrama thamanahu. When Allah makes something prohibited, He will make the price also prohibited.
So he has to just kill the pigs and then.
Yeah, the best is just to throw it away. Kill it and throw it away.
Yeah. That's going to be mashaqqa. Because so many pigs, and pigs are najis.
Dig some place and put them inside. What can he do?
Can you burn the corpses, or is this also haram?
No,
for
after
animals?
They die, and then you burn them, that shouldn't be anything. Because that was just on human beings. Human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ فَأَقْبَرَهُ. Cannot be burned, even if he's kafir. Put him to the ground, Although we don't do the thing we do for the Muslims, but he also has to go to the ground. Ali bin Abi Talib, when his father died, he said, Ya Rasulullah, inna ammaka dal qad qada. He says, your misguided uncle has passed away. This is his father, subhanAllah. He said, he's gone. What should I do? He said, go and idhab wawarihi turab. He said, go and cover him with turab. So that means even the kuffar also, they have to go through this process. No washing, no praying, but we have to put them to the ground. You know. That's why using the human body for education is wrong.
There's different opinions on this.
Yeah, that is wrong. Even if that is different opinion. If a person says, take my body to the hospital for medical purposes, that's wrong. This is the wasiyah that cannot be executed. Allah says, أَمَاتَهُ فَأَقْبَرَهُ. We have to take him to the grave. Some scholars said, except a kafir. Yeah, if he allows, he says, take, we take. But a Muslim, no. Even if he allows, we cannot do that. We have to just take him to the grave and put him there. It's a peak of disrespect. Although he has his own objective, but it's disrespect. The same goes to take some part of me and give it to Fulan. Yeah, one of the scholars said, that's been the same way we distribute his inheritance, and his body also is going to be distributed. Take this, give it to this. Mm. That's disrespect. Yeah. Next.
Can I ask you to translate this hadith?
Yeah. What hadith?
Narrated by Abu Salama.
I hope I know.
In a Sahih Muslim. قال وكان أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يأخذن من يأخذن من رؤوسهن حتى تكون كالوفرة.
Send me the hadith, inshallah, then I will look into it. Okay, next question. No, just forward me the Arabic text. Because okay, I can't remember going through it.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. Sheikh, we have three questions.
We neglected the people behind the screen.
Yes. We have three questions.
So what message are you sending them? Come to the class next time.
Yes. I have three questions. Should we take all them?
Yeah.
Okay, Sheikh. There is a question by Brother Ali Diallo. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. Ahsan Allah ilayka fi dunya wa al-akhirah. Sheikh, I would like to ask a question related to a proprietary trading. I would like to ask if this is permissible for the Muslims.
What is that?
I would like to ask the permissibility for this. It's kind of a bit long. So, Sheikh, the question is, it consists of paying some enrollment fees to join a virtual trading platform where the participants are given a virtual amount of money to spend a percentage of and make some profits. If the participant succeeds and makes profits out of a portion of the virtual fund, then he will be able to withdraw real money as a result that the platform will pay him. The person has to agree that the platform uses his trading pattern in real world trading, and the person will not have any share from their gains for using his model. This cycle can be repeated until the person loses the totality of the virtual fund allocated or decides to withdraw at no cost. Please note the enrollment fees to enter the program are non-refundable. Could you please shed light?
Yeah, it sounds like gambling. Yeah, but I need to read it slowly. So please forward the question to me or ask him please to forward the question.
So what he's asking is like there's some kind of application or platform where you have an enrollment fee, so you have to pay them in order to join. So when you join, they give you tokens, which is not real money. It's just like a simulation, not an actual transaction.
You have to pay to join.
Pay to join.
And that money cannot be refunded.
Yeah, not refunded, but it's like, it's not like gambling. You're not getting anything out of it. It's
no,
like...
it's just complete. It's just complete your explanation. Okay. You say so, not like gambling, then case closed, right?
Yeah.
But so now we want to understand through the question whether it is gambling or wrong. Yeah.
So, and then this application is virtual trading, not actual trading. Actual trading, you pay actual money, and you get actual shares. And this one, it's not real, virtual.
So you're paying money for what?
You're not paying money for anything.
Oh, you don't
you're
pay
just
anything.
Paying money for joining the app.
No problem. You pay the money to join, right? Physical then, money.
Yeah, actual money, as in transaction through a phone.
Yeah. Okay. That means you pay money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then you get tokens.
Okay.
You can use them for virtual trading.
To sell what? Kaloba. Okay, this is a game. You pay,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And then at the end of the day, you might lose or you might.
Yeah, but the game itself is not actual money.
No problem, Hamad. The point is, I want to understand, Hamad, I pay money, right, to join, to buy app. I want to include every possibility Hamad has in his brain. I pay money to join the game, to buy an app, to whatever. You get it? But I pay that money, physical money, right? 30 ringgit, not virtual money.
Yeah.
No, ringgit, I pay that one, right? And I join, right? In the end, there is a possibility for me to gain more money.
Yes, there is.
And there is a possibility for me to lose.
No, there is no possibility.
I cannot lose.
Because it's a fees.
No, wait. That's the problem with Hamad. Hamad, relax. Sabar. Madan, how do you say sabar in India? Sabar. All the languages, Malay, Sabar, and English. Oh, patience. I'll go against that. What I want to know is, there is something being done by somebody, right? And I cannot just come randomly and join, right?
Okay.
I have to pay something, right? For me to join. For me to buy app, for me to do whatever Hamad calls it, right? In the end of the journey, I might gain or I might lose.
Yes.
What are you calling that money, the first one? Don't worry about how did you call that one? Fees, you call it ishtirak, you call it buying, you call it selling, it doesn't matter. Call it ghanam, call it whatever, it doesn't matter. The point is, you give money, right, to join something. And in the end, you might lose or you might gain.
True.
That's how it is, right? Yeah.
You lose the 30 ringgit.
You lose the 30 ringgit.
Yeah.
Right. That's the definition of gambling. You get it?
Yes.
That's the definition of gambling. But I want to see the question. If you can just send me the details, if you can have more details. Yeah, I think let me just focus and read it slowly, and then we come. Inshallah. Maybe it looks like Hamad. I'm going to destroy a business you are in. Or I got it. I just kidding. Yeah, but I want to clarify that thing, Hamad. You know. Names don't change reality. Titles being given to things don't change reality. That multi-level marketing, the same is gambling. But at the beginning, how do I join? I buy a product from the company. I'm buying. Many people say, no, but I'm buying. But the objective of you buying it is to join that game. You know, that business with the hope that you will gain, and then you lose. You get it? If in the normal circumstance, you don't need the thing actually, usually. Although you're going to use it, but you don't need it. You're just buying to join. The purpose is to join that game. It doesn't change the reality. It remains haram, something that has gone in it. So that's what I wanted to understand from this one. Is this something that I have to pay money to join? You call it fees, you call it whatever you call it for buying the app or registration, whatever. Why am I doing it? To gain in the future, right? And the possibility of losing is very high. That's gambling. However, to be just to the question, I want to read carefully. And, because this type of questions, answering them in a class like this, is very dangerous. So that's the reason why sometimes I ask, I need to go and sit down, you know, relax, read, then I'll make some murajaat. Okay, now.
Sheikh, sorry. Now I have another question regarding this. Because it's a common business model in Canada where someone will have a farm, right? And they say, if you pay me $20, you can go and pick up as much fruit as you want. So is this haram?
As much food?
Fruit.
Fruit in the farm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is this haram?
And you know what is in the farm?
Yeah, apples.
Apples, you know, the kind of apples you see.
Because that's the thing, maybe the apples will be good or bad, maybe they'll be big or small.
I know, if that, the only conditions for this type of business, this is a buffet or something. The only condition for this is you know what you are going to receive there. If you know, then it's okay. If you don't know, then it will be gambling. It's wrong for you to pay money for that. I know that when I go in, I will get the food is available. And I know that food is normal food. It's okay food. You get it? I can pay the money, I go in and buy. I eat whatever I want to eat. The same goes to the farm. 20 ringgit per entry. You go and take whatever fruits you want. And they have good fruit. You get it? They have good fruit. Not the bad ones. Not mixture with the mixed with the bad ones. Yeah, I have 100 people go in, you know, they might finish the good ones, and now the one that remains is the bad one. I went, being the last person, I couldn't get any good ones, and my 20 ringgit is not going to be refunded. That's haram money they are eating. They have to give me back my money. They have to. They must. When I don't get the quality one, a good one, then they have to return the money back. Otherwise, they have to explain to me, if you buy, you're going inside. Even if they explain, if I know that the bad one is there and I'm not going to use it, it's still gambling. Because I cannot tell the person, okay, if you join this, you are, there is a possibility of you to lose. And then he says, I agree. Can we say it is halal now, since he agrees? No, it's not. No, it's not. Still is gambling. Does it reach? Yeah. Adam, you get it right. So they have to explain what exactly they have there, and they have to make sure that they have it available there. If everything is available, then it should be okay, inshallah. Otherwise, that kind of business is wrong. You know. Okay, next question. Maybe somebody can help Mazin so that Mazin can continue with the questions. Yeah. How that?
Yeah. Okay, Sheikh. I have three more questions. Should we take them?
Well, because I'm going to pray here.
Okay, Sheikh.
I have on my way, there's a long traffic there. So rather than losing the prayer on the way, let me just pray with that was
okay, Sheikh. The next question. Question by Sister Murni. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa the first part of the question is it permissible for one before bulugh to slaughter?
And as long as he knows how to slaughter, yeah, the boy before the age of bulugh, right? And he knows how to slaughter and he slaughters correctly and he says Bismillah, fine. Why not? Enjoy your meal, inshallah.
Yes, Allah. Is it permissible to travel to non-Muslim countries for holidays and whatnot? For a short period of time?
Good question.
A conference?
No, those ones that are justification, you're going for a conference, you're going for business, you're going for... But I want to focus on his question that I'm just going... I want to give some relief to the family. I took them to a non-Muslim country. Yeah. The problem already resolved and we let you suffer. Sorry for that. That's the best example of it works. Another one. So I take my family to a country which is kufr. Get it? They are going to meet the naturalist, you know, and all of these ones, you know, and they are like, if I sit down and look at it Islamically as a Muslim, how do I feel? Trust me, I will never feel okay. Because they are going to expose your family. By the time they come, they have to spend all the time in the aeroplane, astaghfirullah. Yeah. That's why going to the places of ma'asi is wrong. Yeah, if it is not necessary. You go to the marketplace, you're going to see a lot of things which are bad, but the need brought you to that place. You just go for the need and go out. But just going for fun. Yeah, we, alhamdulillah, we have a lot of other places. That's why those people, this is my personal advice, and I wish you will take it, inshallah, you will. Yeah, when you marry, yeah, for those of you who are still in the slavery condition, yeah, when you marry, the first thing after the marriage, people go to?
Honeymoon,
right? Yeah. You go to? We change it to Umrah moon. All right, that's, I'm telling you, just take your family to Umrah. That money you spend to go and support kuffar in their country, use it and go and live next to the Kaaba, the fanciest hotel. Yeah, that's better. Yeah, you and your family, Umrah, going around, you know, subhanAllah, and enjoying life. Rather than going to honeymoon to those, a'udhu billah. Yeah. Oh, you have an objection? Okay.
If you're a Muslim who's a resident in a Catholic country, and you invite your Muslim friend to your country, come visit me, can you? Like, I have a friend who's a Muslim.
Invite him to migrate.
To my contact, come and visit.
Invite him to migrate.
No, and I accept the
Well, I will apologize to him. Yeah, for instance, somebody invites me to those countries, I would tell him, please accept my apology. Where would I go? I would advise him to come. Come and live with us. He can. Usually people who have the passport from those places, they can live in any place with no that much of restrictions. Yeah, that's why our people always go there to get the passport and then leave, so that it could be respected in their own country, because they hold. They're very unfortunate, I'm telling you, very unfortunate. And I don't respect my own brother only when he has the US passport or British passport. What is this? It's really wrong. Very unfortunate, very unfortunate. So I will invite him to come. Yeah. Unless, if let's say he lives in a place in those countries which is dominated by the Muslim, they apply Islam, they do it. Although the country is, the place is affiliated to non-Muslim countries, but I know his place, I see Islam. Yeah, then inshallah, those are a bit okay for a person to visit. Even those ones, they stay in that place as long as they can practice their religion, it's okay. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have disconnected myself from any Muslim who lives in the midst of the non-believers. It says, لا تتراء ناراهما. The two fires shouldn't face each other. Meaning, they shouldn't live. We need to have Muslims living in their own place. Takthir sawad to go. Because the more the population is, the stronger the community are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ أَكْثَرَ نَفِيرًا. He's telling the Jews, one of his favors on them is that he make them the vast majority. كُنْتُمْ قَلِيلًا فَكَثَّرَكُمْ. It used to be a little, but Allah make you more. And that's why one of the agendas of the enemy is to reduce the size of the Muslims by introducing this family planning thing. It's up to a Muslim to have a child the time he wants. You can sit with your wife, okay, you don't want to have a child until after 2-3 years. Is there anything wrong with that? No. Halal, halal. But to take the advice of the enemy for you to do this calculation, that's very dangerous for us. And the more children you have, the better your condition is. Allah. People just don't know. Among those children, inshallah, you find somebody who will bring success to the family by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also strength in the family. Yeah, Yusuf, imagine you have 50 male. These are all your children. And you are coming to, you are, you're passing, you're walking, all of them behind you. Trust me, even the bad ones who are going to attack you when he sees all of these soldiers behind you. You get it? So it's a strength for the family. And amongst them, you're going to have losers, you're going to have good ones who are very hardworking that can bring a lot of solution to the family. Having a lot of children has never been an issue, but it's just our negligence. I have the first one, I'm negligent. My wife is negligent. We don't give him tarbiyah in the way it should be done. Second one also, third one. Yeah, of course, somebody will come and tell me, yeah, you're producing children without taking care of them. What is this? You either stop or you go for family planning or something like that. But if you act as a Muslim, yeah, this is my responsibility to take care of my children. You give good tarbiyah to the first one, second one. Trust me, the third one, you will not suffer in the way you suffer with the first and the second. Because the third one is going to learn from the first and the second. Why the third and the fourth and the fifth? Usually they are very smart. They are smarter than the first child and the second child. Because they learn a lot of experiences from the previous one. So the job of the father and the mother is going to be very less. Because they invest in the first one that came. But usually, no. First one comes, I sleep. My wife also sleep. We are going to keep working until the time we reach the old age. Yeah, and we're still taking care of our younger kids. Allah grant us good. So what brought us here is the question by Omar, right? Yeah. So I proposed and Yusuf distracted my proposal. Yeah. I said, rather than going to honeymoon to any other country, that is non-Muslim countries, to go and see ma'asi and commit sin. For sure, if you ask that person, what have you done? He will tell you, yes, it's a sin. Because he goes and see ma'asi and watch things which are not halal and be with the sins, you know, just beauty of the dunya. And also he's going to meet uncivilized people. Although we call it civilization, but it's not. It's madaniya, development in terms of building, but civilization doesn't exist. It does exist in our own places. So choose Makkah. Choose Medina to Rasulullah. Well, it's very, very interesting if a person has good intention. Very interesting. You know that you're doing an act of worship. And the place also is good. Excellent. Yeah. The feeling is different. You know that this is the Kaaba. This is where Ibrahim used to. SubhanAllah. Rather than this is White House, Blue House, Green House. Yeah, you know that this is Madinat Rasulullah. Yawallah, the feeling is different. You are in that masjid, you know that Rasulullah used to be here. Jibril used to come here. And SubhanAllah. Nur and ala nur, right? Marriage and good feeling, an ibadat. Yeah. So I give you good solutions. So please, when you marry, don't forget to invite me for the walima. That's it. That's my price and my payment, inshallah. Us. I'm saying this because I believe some people are planning to go outside and do it outside. And then come and tell us, I married. We don't witness this much. Okay, next question, Mazin.
Barakallahu feek, Sheikh. Next question by Sister Mournis.
Sheikh, is it the last one?
No, we have four more questions.
Oof.
Do we take one more and then stop?
Okay. Can we add 5 more minutes if you don't mind? Okay. 5 minutes, after 5 minutes, just close.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Sheikh. The question is, may I know what evidence can we use for the statement, we do not correct mistake by another mistake when we see someone committing wrong to correct
the wrong. You don't need evidence for this because the second mistake also is wrong Islamically. Allah says, don't do it. Why do you do mistakes? Yeah, we just take the lesser of the two evil when we have no choice except to go with one of them. Then we choose the lesser one. Because we cannot go out without committing one. Then we choose the lesser one. But in the normal circumstances, somebody received magic, unfortunately. He did magic to fix it. We can't, right? The same goes to any normal circumstances. You cannot take, okay, I borrow money. Kareem from people, he borrowed money with riba. I tell him, you have to settle this riba money. Otherwise, you keep accumulating. He goes to another person who also riba, borrow money from him to settle this one, because this one is going to get him into trouble. What is he doing? Fixing riba with riba. Yeah. So both of them are wrong. The first is wrong. The second one is wrong. So I'm just supposed to quit. I cannot commit a mistake to fix another mistake, unless if I have no choice except to do one of the mistakes to go out of the situation. Then I do the one that is easier. Okay, next.
Yes, sir. Next question. Inflation reduces the value of money. So does the borrower need to calculate this if he borrows more than a year?
He doesn't. If I borrow money from Adam, I have to pay that amount of money. Exactly. Does it.
Next question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. What about someone sell food items expensive than the normal price in another location? Is it halal and permissible?
To do what?
Price strategy based on location. Like sell.
Okay, I'm the producer, right? Can I sell my thing according to the price I want?
Yeah, I think yes. So, that's what. Okay.
Sharia says I should show mercy to everyone. That's it. Okay. So I can buy this one ringgit here in Malaysia, and I go to India, for instance, Singapore, Saudi, and in Saudi they sell it. In Malaysia here, is maximum is 1 ringgit. But in Saudi, the same thing, but it's sold 1 million ringgit. Can I sell it 1 million ringgit? Yes. If I sell it 1 ringgit in Saudi, the government does have a right to stop me from doing that, because I'm going to harm the market. I'm going to harm the market. I can't, because if I sell it 1 ringgit, the rest of the traders, they will not sell theirs, and they bought it maybe 900,000, 950, you know, they bought it some amount closer to that. They're not exploiting people. It's just that I got it with this cheaper amount and I reached a country where it is sold. You get it? So it's okay for me to price my product according to the way I want.
Sorry, Sheikh, isn't this just business? What if I charge 500,000 riyals for the mic? So none of them can compete with
it? No, it depends. It depends. When you go to the marketplace, because we need the cooperation of all to support the country. If as a government I favor Adam, I let him do whatever he wants, the rest of the traders, they will get harmed. If tomorrow they said, we will not go and bring the thing, and Adam cannot provide the whole country with our need, who's going to be harmed? Everyone is going to be harmed while trying to benefit one person. So the government, they have to be very careful. Although it's good for the community, for us to have somebody like you selling it with this price, but long term, it's not going to be good for them. Yeah, market interests have to be preserved, you know. That's why I don't do anything that can harm the market.
What if it's a non-Muslim country?
Even them. Because we have Muslims also living in that place. I'm not supposed to do anything that is harming the public. In a non-Muslim country, I will ask him, just leave and come to the Muslim territories.
Okay, Sheikh. The last question.
Last question.
Okay. Sheikh, question by Umar Rayyan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sheikh, Allahu alaikum fi dunya wal akhirah. If someone gives salam via message or verbally says salams, as possible a version of salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Salams.
Do we reply them with wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh?
Allah says, hayu bi ahsana minha aw rudduha. Reply with the best.
With text or with words?
You can say with words. But it depends. What kind of understanding that person is going to have. That's why it's better to reply with the text. Say wa alaikum salam and then reply with the text also. At least he sees your acknowledgement. He will not have negative thoughts. That's why this behavior that we have need to be changed. Sajjad message me or I message him. He will not acknowledge my message completely. And sometimes it's very annoying. I ask him our question, and Yusuf give me a solution. I read the solution and I use it, but I would never even say no thanks, no jazakallah khairan, no anything. I just keep it like that. He has sometimes to send me a message and say, hey, last time I replied you, but I didn't see any. Oh, Allah, I'm sorry. I use that advice. It works, alhamdulillah. Ya Rajul, you know. Just send a message. You know, subhanAllah, I found a lot having this attitude. I don't want to point some people who are doing this, but it's wrong. once you reach a person and you ask for something, let's send a message, Jazakallah khairan, thank you, to close the page. Saying salam to you, reply the salam, and then that's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How much you need to say Jazakallah khairan? One word, two words, you know. Mm-hmm. And you also get that one. At least he knows that you're acknowledging what, and you receive the message, well received.
Is there a case for a woman as well? Because sometimes the woman just want to get the answer, and after that.
That's very bad. I don't want to mention actually. Actually, this one comes from the sisters more. It's very bad behavior.
To reply.
No, not to reply, mm-hmm. because once she send the question to that person, mm-hmm. she send the question right, mm-hmm. and the answer comes mm-hmm. to her right. Yes. Whoever sheikh or student of knowledge, she send it, and the answer comes to her. She send the question already right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Thank you. Jazakallah khairan. Finished. But keeping silent, that's mean at the first place you shouldn't send them. If it is a sensitive matter to do that at the first place, you shouldn't do. It's killed adab actually. Wrong adab. You get it? Yeah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man sana ilaykum ma'rufun fa kafi'u. Whoever did ma'ruf for you, you should compensate him. If you don't find anything to compensate him, make dua for him. So the least we can say to our scholars, the student of knowledge who are guiding us, when we ask them questions, after you receive the answer, you just say, Jazakallah khairan, thank you, that's it. Otherwise, it will be qillat adab when you just keep silent. Mm-hmm. And he sees, he knows that, yes, you got the answer and you benefited from it, and you benefited, you don't, it doesn't matter. But it's qillat adab. That's why at the first place, once you penetrate that and you send the question, what's wrong with sending Jazakallah khairan? Which one is worse, actually? Jazakallah khairan or this one? Do you get what I mean? So it's a qillat adab. Adab that the student of knowledge should have it more than anybody else. You get it? Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.